morning. I have to tell you, you got to make me feel good this morning because my wife told me, boy, you're just a fountain of joy this morning. See what I have to put up with. No. But believe it or not, the message is about joy. So here we go. Anyway, it's good to see everybody this morning. We're continuing on in our series, Yes, You Can Get Out of Your Mess. Today is part two of that series. And that's, now, I have a tendency to want to sing a song when I do this. It's Don't Be Coy, Choose Joy. Now, do you know that song? You don't need to be coy, Roy? Oh, come on. Come on, yeah. Just jump on the bus, Gus. Yeah? Yeah. All right, never mind. All right, that was the extent of my joy this morning. But anyway, I'm going to start with a little bit of review this morning because it's been 2 weeks since we were on this subject. And so here we go. It's just short. So please turn with me to James 1:17, and that's where we're going to begin our review this morning. It's going to be quick, going to be fast, because I'm sure that you all remember it so well. Yeah. All right, James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. James' purpose for writing this passage was to reveal the true nature of God to people who are in doubt about his goodness. And James does so by describing what kind of gift that God always gives. Now remember, please, we've been talking about what God always does and what God never does, okay? We saw in our last message the word good came from a Greek word that describes anything good that's beneficial or profitable to you. And the word gift was translated from another Greek word that conveys the perpetual, habitual giving action of God. We learned that the giving of good gifts is not what God does occasionally, but it's what he does always. And everything that comes from God is good, and it's always beneficial to the recipient. Now, is that a true statement, according to what we've been saying? James goes on to say that not only are the gifts of God good, but the gifts of God are perfect. Okay, they're perfect. The word perfect, we learned, translates from the word teleion, which describes something that completes us or matures us or adds to us. So when we receive something from God, anything really, is never something that subtracts from us, takes away from us. It's always, say it's always, something that adds to us, okay? What God gives perfects and completes us. Are you with me so far? And really, that's how we can discern whether or not something comes from God or something comes from the devil. If what comes into your life takes away from you, then it's not God, okay? And then to really hammer the issue home of what God gives and what he never gives, James says that there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. This phrase in the Greek actually describes the shifting shadows of a Roman sundial. The lesson that James wanted all the people to understand was that as the earth rotates on its axis and time passes, the shadow of the sun on the sundial is continually changing to mark the time of day. James, he incorporates this illustration, to tell them that when it comes to the issue of giving good and perfect gifts, God is nothing like a Roman sundial. Why? Because God never changes. He's always the same. Say he's always the same. Always. So you can always expect good and perfect things coming from God. Okay, and that ends our recap of the message 2 weeks ago. So now let's stand, okay, and we'll repeat our Bible declaration together. I'm just going to say something that I wasn't going to say, but I'm going to say it, okay? You know what the definition of good is? Good. You know what the definition of bad is? Okay. Now I'm going to say that again, and I want you all to join in. Okay, do you know what the definition of good is?
Good.
You know what the definition of bad is?
Bad.
Okay, there we go. All right, hold your Bible up in the air, and let's begin. very, very strongly, okay? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, Gary, are you sitting down now? Would you please come and pray?
Do you want the joy today? Yeah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today, God. I thank you that your word is going to change our lives today. God, it's going to change our hearts. It's going to change our minds. Lord, just the way that we think, the way that we believe, and the way that we know, Lord. And for all who said, yes, they want the joy, God, I pray that we, yes, we just receive that today, God. Your joy. Your joy. Father, as Pastor preaches, God, I thank you that you are just gonna empower him, Lord, to speak your truth, God, to speak it with power, to speak it, God, with boldness today. Father, and that our lives would be changed, God. Let us be doers of your word, Lord, and not only hearers today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. Thank you. Why don't you turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 2. That's James chapter 1, verse 2. And we're going to start reading there. Are you there? Okay. James chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." So, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Well, I don't know about you. I mean, I have an idea about you, but I don't know about you. But that doesn't sound like my natural, normal reaction when I'm going through a trial. Come on. I mean, I'm going to be honest here this morning. Usually, if I go through a trial, I get a little bit grumpy, okay? Come on. Maybe a little bit testy, a little bit snarky and lippy, all right? All right, basically I turn into an all-around jerk, okay? You can ask Serena, she'll lie for me. It's great, okay? And you know why? You know why? Because counting it all joy, that's not human nature, right? That's not what we usually do. That's not the normal reaction. So let's just take a deeper dive into this morning and see what it's really saying. The phrase "count it" in this verse is from the Greek word hegemai, which means to reckon or to determine. All right, it pictures a determination that isn't left to chance. Okay, you just don't not make a decision and hope it turns out okay. All right, when James says "count it all joy," he was saying to determine joy, or to make the decision to be in joy. Well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. In other words, don't leave it to doubt. I mean, or to the way you feel that day, or even to chance. Now, please understand, James was talking to a disappointed, disgruntled people who were disillusioned with God and their circumstances. I mean, their life just wasn't turning out the way they had planned it to turn out. I don't know if you've ever been in a similar spot in your life. Anybody? Okay. But it's a very hard place to be in, and it is really easy to get disillusioned. The word that we just mentioned, the Greek word, the word hegemai, is also used in Romans 6:11, where the Apostle Paul said this, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." The word "reckon" is that same Greek word. And I'm doing this so you can just get an idea of what it really means, okay? In this setting and in the other setting. So this verse is saying, when sin tries to show up in your life and work its way into your life, Rather than just tolerate it or just hope it goes away, you need to reckon it dead. Say, reckon it dead. And that is this. You make the decision to determine sin as being dead in your life. Can anything dead in your life affect your life? No, it can't. And that's what we have to do. Again, don't waver or just leave it to chance. And then at the same time, the scripture says, reckon yourselves also alive unto God. In other words, make the decision to allow the Spirit of Christ to fully operate and work on the inside of you. Did you know that you have to make a decision to make that happen? That doesn't just automatically happen either. There's too much of our flesh that gets in the way, and too much of our ego gets in the way as well. But in both verses, Hegemai depicts a predetermined course of action. So essentially, what James told his readers was this. You need to make the decision that you're going to have joy in your life regardless of what you're experiencing. And again, that just doesn't really sound possible, does it? But we have to understand that this experience of joy, it's not just going to happen automatically. I mean, you need to do something. You need to make that decision. I think that probably most of us know that happiness and joy aren't the same thing. I mean, they aren't even close, okay? James didn't say, try to be happy when you fall into various temptations. He said it this way for a reason, count it all joy. The word joy is the Greek word kara, and kara is a derivative of the word charis, which is the Greek word for grace, okay? So when the Bible talks about having joy, it's talking about a quality produced deep inside of you by the grace of God. You have the grace of God, and you have joy just because of the grace of God. I'm happy today for the grace of God. You have to understand something. Happiness is like the ripples or waves on the surface of a lake, all right? Let me explain. The surface of water, like in a lake, is affected by the environment and by the weather conditions. And because of these things, it's changing all the time, all the time. One day the surface of the water is smooth, okay? And the next day, or if it's Michigan, the next hour, it's rough because it's windy. Are you with me? You have little ripples, big waves. But deep down near the bottom of that lake, the water conditions stay virtually unchanged, regardless of what's happening on the surface. What's below remains steady and consistent and unaffected by the weather or the environment. See, that's what joy is like. It's unchanging, okay? Joy is unchanging. Even though your circumstances in life are changing every minute, I mean, one day things can be great, right? The next day they can be terrible. No, let me put that different. One morning things can be all right, and the next, by noon, they're bad, right? Oh, just a minute. In the morning they're all right, by break time, see, God doesn't want you and I to live like the water that's on the surface of a lake, that's constantly moved by what is happening in our environment. James is telling his readers and that God's will for their lives and for our lives is this. When the circumstances are good, be full of joy. And when the circumstances are bad, be full of joy, all right? Still, because that really doesn't matter. Happiness is fleeting. What do I mean? It comes and it goes with things like this. Which side of the bed you woke up in the morning? Oh, come on. Haven't you ever woke up grumpy? Am I the only one? It happened last year one time. And the tone that people use when they're talking to you. Well, how dare they? This was a good day until Betty so-and-so, you know, said this. Right, yeah. All right, this is a good one. And whether or not your pants fit too tight that day, ladies. They fit yesterday. Okay. All right, joking, I know. But joy is a work of grace that's produced by the Holy Spirit who works deeply inside of you. Choosing joy is the first step to say the first step, would you? It's the first step to being able to say, yes, I can get out of the mess and out of any trap of the enemy that he has set for me. That's the first thing. If you can maintain joy, you maintain your strength. Amen? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Because the enemy would rather that you were coy. okay? Undecided, that you were coy, and that you didn't choose joy, because joy not only strengthens you to win the battles over the enemy, but it also messes with all the plans that he has made for your life. Oh, come on. Yeah, you know, sometimes I think when you react like that, that I may be the only one that the devil ever attacks. Unfortunately, that's a fact of life. The enemy attacks. We have a very real enemy that is very focused on the fact that he would like to see us fall and fall away from God. But we have something that's different. We have joy. We have joy. See, this attitude change, if you will, is a daily, sometimes moment by moment, and even second by second decision that we have to make. It's this inner determination that says, I'm no longer going to be swayed by my circumstances, nor am I going to follow the ups and the downs of my emotions. How many of you know your emotions really stink when it comes to that? You can be happy one minute, and there you go, and unhappy the next, and then somebody can say something that really builds you up, and hey, it's great now, you know? And then somebody says something like Betty says, and you lose your joy. Happiness, I should say. I'm going to have the inner determination, and we need to have the inner determination to say, no, 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 I'm not losing my joy. I'm going to stand on my joy. I'm not going to see it leave me. I'm going to see it come to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because joy is going to carry me out of this dark place. Now, how many of you have been in a dark place before? Okay. It's going to take me out of this dark place to the place where God wants me to be. So I'm going to count it all joy, like James says. I'm going to count it all joy when I fall into major hardships. So like James, his readers, you and I are to do what I just said. We're to count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, if we go a little bit further in this, the words you fall is the Greek word parapipto. And it pictures someone falling into a ditch head first. Okay? Head first. If we take it in context, what it means is this: to be completely surrounded by all-encompassing problems. Oh gosh, how many of you know what that's like? Right? I mean, there's times in our lives, and sometimes it feels like, you know, every single day there's just more and more and more. And I don't know about you, but there are times when I come to the place where I even say to Serena, you know, I don't know, I can't do this anymore. This is enough, you know. But it's at those times, and it shouldn't take that, but at those times you suddenly remember, wait, I've got joy, you know, because all this stuff that's happening to me, in the end, I'm going to heaven, and that's a pretty joyous thing, you know. Amen. Amen. The word parapipto is only used in one other place in Scripture, and that's in Luke 10:30 in the story of the Good Samaritan. And the illustration goes like this, and you probably know the story, but just in case you don't. A man who was traveling to Jericho fell among thieves, and they stripped him of his clothes, they wounded him, and then they left him for dead. Okay? The phrase fell among is that same Greek word parapipto. Remember now, this innocent man was surrounded on every side by thieves and robbers, and they stripped him, they robbed him, they wounded him, and left him for dead. When James talks about the various or the diverse temptations that you and I fall into, he's talking about the major hardships, okay, that strip you down. Have you ever been there? Come on. That strip you down and rob you blind and wound you so deeply that it seems to leave you right at death's door. I have been wounded by friends so deeply before that you sometimes wonder if it wouldn't be better to die. I'm sure it wouldn't, but you feel that way. Amen? Amen. And for some reason, it's only a friend that can do that, hurt you that much. But when you get to that place, when this happens, and you fall into these kinds of disastrous events, and your happiness is robbed from you, the Bible says you have to make a decision, all right? It's not going to happen just automatically. To jump into that deeper-seated flow of joy that's on the inside of you, make a decision. I hate those words. I hate it when my wife says to me, Wes, just make a decision. But that's the way this is too. All right? You have to just make a decision. Amen. Make the choice, all right? Don't be destabilized by the circumstances on the surface, but be stabilized by the peace underneath, okay? Okay? The peace and the joy underneath. This attitude of joy will move you from despair into the life of perfect peace that Jesus has planned for you. You know, interestingly enough, even the seemingly insignificant word when in James 1 and 2, and I think it's up there. It's going to be up there. Count all joy when, all right, when. The tense that's used here describes something that will take you off guard and by surprise, which is exactly what the devil likes to do, amen? The truth is that no matter how long that we have walked with God or how spiritual we might think that we are, all of us experience those when moments, amen? Those when moments of attack. When the enemy throws a demonically calculated test our way that takes us completely by surprise. We had no idea that was coming. We didn't see it coming. Don't even know how it came into our lives, but it's there. But because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and man, you ought to memorize that, okay? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength, okay? We can call on that strength and decide to stay in joy and thwart the plans of the enemy. And I don't know about you, but I would rather thwart his plans than fall to his plans. Because every time you fall to his plans, it just gets easier and easier and easier to fall the next time. I'd rather be strong. I'd rather get the strength that God has provided. But we always have to keep in mind what the testing or the trial is producing. James describes the temptations we face using the words various or divers, okay? Again, interesting enough, the same word is used in Genesis 37 to describe Joseph's coat of many colors. So when James says, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations or trials, he's letting us know that the devil's temptations are multicolored, okay? Multicolored. That is, they come in all shapes and sizes, and at various times and in diverse ways. So don't think that they're always going to be the same, because they're not. They will be sometimes, but they're not always the same. But nevertheless, say nevertheless, nevertheless, whatever the devil sends our way, we have the God-given ability to overcome it, but we have to make a decision. But there's something else to keep in mind, and James tells us in verse 3 of chapter 1. He says this, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The phrase knowing that, okay, knowing that, is ongoing in the Greek tense, which means you would translate it as knowing, knowing, and knowing, okay? Knowing, knowing, and knowing. Knowing and knowing and knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It indicates never forgetting. Never forgetting, always knowing and keeping it in the forefront of your mind. It's almost as if James is reaching through the pages of Scripture to grab a hold of you and I and to shake us and to say, know this, will you just know this? In other words, always keep knowing the trying of your faith works patience. The word trying in this verse is a Greek word that pictures the process of testing a product to see if you can live up to seeing if it can live up to its reputation. It's a test to determine the quality of something, okay? Or determine if a product or a claim about a certain product is as good as it is asserted to be. And it also means to authenticate or to prove. Let me give you an example. If someone had a product and advertised it boastfully, how great it was, and somebody might come along and say, I heard your wonderful advertisement, but you know what? Now I'm going to test it to see if your product is really all that good and if it's all that it's cracked up to be. That person would start to vigorously test to see if it was everything it was advertised to be. That's what the word trying means when James mentions the trying of your faith. Just stay with me here in a minute. It describes the process of authentication, okay? James was telling his readers, and you and I, and please don't ever forget that, it was never just written to somebody else, amen? It was written to you and I. That when the devil comes to test you, he is coming to test your statement of faith. Amen? He's coming to test your statement of faith. Now he's coming to test you to see if your the product, which is your faith, is as good as you claim it is. I mean, you made a lot of claims, hey, but I'm going to find out if that's really true here. Are you really committed to your confession of faith? Okay, are you really committed to believing in healing, to believing in prosperity as far as receiving blessings from the Lord? Are you committed to the success of your marriage and your finances? Because the Bible says you can be. Or are you really committed to your church? Are you committed to your faith like you say you are? Nothing's going to make me fall. Well, let's find out, you know. Each test that he brings to you is your opportunity to authenticate and prove that your faith is real. Amen? It's real. It's real. It's also a chance for patience to be developed on the inside of you, which is what we're going to talk about next week, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but from this day forward, okay, no matter how difficult it is, I'm going to do my best to choose joy. Are you? Even when it goes against my flesh. You know, I don't know why. There's sometimes it just feels really good to be mad. Don't look at me like that. It does. It just feels really good to be ticked, you know? I'll show that person, I'll get mad. I'll hurt myself. I'll do good, you know? And every time I am tempted to lose my joy, I'm going to prove to the devil that my faith is real, you know? I'm going to prove to him that what God says really works in my life, okay? I'm going to prove to him that no matter how many times he comes, and that's not an invitation, but that no matter how many times he comes, it is real. My faith is the real thing, okay? So, don't be coy. Choose joy. Coy being unsure. Don't be unsure about that. That's a key that God has given us. Because he knew and he knows that living in this world can be full of ups and downs. How many of you get sick and tired of the ups and downs? Amen? Wouldn't you just love to just live? You know, live? But it isn't that way because there's people. I probably shouldn't have said it like that, but people have a way of saying things that they shouldn't say. So don't be coy. Choose joy, no matter what it is. Your days will be better. Your life will be better. God has given it to you as a tool to get you out of the dark places that we sometimes end up in, all right? Amen. And why don't you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you've given us the weapon of joy. Thank you so much that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Father, we don't want to give up our strength. So help us, God, to choose joy. Help us, Lord, to always choose joy. I pray that we wouldn't choose it as a last thing. But God, we choose it as the first thing to keep the enemy from being able to gain some ground in our lives. God, more than anything, we want our lives to be a reflection of love towards you. And God, we thank you so much for all of the tools that you have given us. I pray that we would be a people that would be quick to grab a hold of those things. God, I pray that we would choose joy this week when the dark places come knocking. That we would choose joy this week when people would say things that aren't very nice. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And amen. Why don't you stand with